day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's Dürr Interim Report for the first quarter 2012 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the call over to Ralf Dieter. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ralf Dieter speaking. My colleague Ralf Heuwing and I welcome you to Dürr's conference call on our Q1 2012 results. As usual, I would like to start by summarizing the key highlights and give you an overview of the results. And then Ralf Heuwing will go into the figures in more detail. Afterwards, we will talk about our divisions and share our view of the markets and our outlook. The highlights. The first quarter developed better than expected, not only in terms of incoming orders, but also with regard to sales and earnings. The demand has remained consistently high. The level of requests for quotation continues to be strong. We are planning some smaller acquisitions in the course of the year in energy technology, and we are leaving our positive outlook for 2012 unchanged, although the expected figures for sales, incoming orders and earnings are rather conservative if we can sustain the Q1 momentum. I'd like you to turn to page 3. The sales rose by 57% to 562 million compared to an already normalized Q1 2011. Orders exceeded sales by 21% in Q1, which resulted in an increase in order backlog to a very high level of 2.2 billion. This will ensure good capacity utilization until the middle of 2013. Our service business was up 25% to 114 million. Its share of sales declined to 20% due to the strong increase of our equipment and machine business. On page 4, you see that the group's incoming orders were up 22% to 679 million in the first quarter. This is the third year in a row we have started off with a double-digit increase in new orders in the first quarter. Orders were also up 10% versus the Q4 2011. The price quality of the orders has improved too compared to the last year. On page number 5, you can see that China contributed to a high degree to the orders in the first quarter. Order intake in the US increased by 80%. There was a temporary fall off in orders in Brazil and India, but however, in these countries, there are several projects in the pipeline again this year. In Europe, orders were down 13% in the first 3 months of 2012, but in the same period last year, we had booked a large order in Hungary. On page 6, we show that we are still building up the workforce to match the strong growth in business. Dürr had 7,085 employees at the end of the first quarter. That is almost 17% more than a year ago. The number of external workers has also been stepped up appreciably and accounted now for about 18% of the total workforce. We have taken on new employees, mostly in the growth markets of China, India, Mexico, and Brazil. But however, there also have been increases in Germany, Poland, and the US. In the emerging markets, the number of employees has risen by 32% compared to the previous year, now to a level of 2,268 people, and this now accounts for 32% of Dürr's regular employees. Sales per employee will rise to over 300,000 euro in 2012, compared with the low point in 2009, that is an increase of 64%. As you can see, productivity is continuing to improve and is now on a high level. On page 7, you will find an overview of where we are expanding our capacities. Our second production facility for paint systems in Shanghai went just into operation in the first quarter of 2012 with additional capacities of 25,000 square meters. We also have started the construction work for the new measuring and process facility with additional capacities of 20,000 square meters to be ready in 2013. In Bietigheim-Bissingen, we will shortly be starting work on the construction of a new assembly workshop for our application technology division, with additional space of 6,000 square meter. We plan to expand our capacities in Mexico and Brazil by about one-third. In Thailand, we have set up a new company in order to be able to cover the growing markets of Southeast Asia more effectively. These investments are being financed mostly through operating leases, and as a total of $25 million is going to be invested here. On page 8, you will find the regional breakdown of incoming orders and sales revenues. 49% of incoming orders were generated in the emerging markets in Q1. 11% of the orders came from Germany, 24% from the rest of Europe. The American business accounted for around 27%, while 38% of orders were generated in Asia. For the full year 2012, we expect the emerging markets to account for about 60%. Ralf Heuwing will now step through our financials and cash flow statements. Ralf.
Yes, thank you. On page 9, you see that our gross margin in the first quarter of 2012 was 16.4%, somewhat lower than the previous year's margin of 17.1%. This was due to the lower share of higher margin service business, as we already said. With 25% growth rate, this business grew less strongly than the project business with 68%. However, due to the strong volume growth overall, we increased our gross profit by 51% to €92 million. Selling and admin expenses rose by 20% in the first quarter 2012, and thus much less strongly than our sales revenues. We increased our R&D spending by 24% in line with our DUR 2015 strategy. We will continue to increase this item in order to secure our technological lead and expand into new areas of business such as energy-saving technologies. EBIT tripled this quarter year over year to just under €30 million. Before depreciation and amortization, which amounted to €6 million, EBITDA was up 145% to €36 million. As expected, the financial result remained at the previous year's level at minus €6 million. We incurred interest expense for the first time on the financing of the group headquarters Dürr Campus in Bietigheim-Bissingen, which we bought back at the end of last year. This transaction has led to a slight shift in the earnings structure in 2012. EBIT is appreciably relieved, while the interest result is burdened, but by a smaller amount. Also, our financial result now includes pension interest, a reclassification we undertook at the end of 2011. With tax expense of €6 million, earnings after tax rose to €17 million in the first quarter, up from €2 million in the same period last year. The effective tax rate was 26.5%. For the full year 2012, we expect to be in the region of 25%, as we will continue to use or capitalize our tax loss carryforwards, given the positive earnings performance. Let's turn to page 10, our cash flow situation. Operating cash flow in Q1 2012 was slightly negative at minus €19 million, compared with the previous year's level of minus €16 million. The main reason for this was a moderate €28 million increase in net working capital. The rise in net working capital was expected and is due to the strong growth in business. Our cash flow was also burdened by the outflow from the offloading of pension risk in Germany with an amount of €11 million. We undertook this transaction to reduce longevity risks of our pensioners. Accordingly, free cash flow was negative at minus €25 million. As a result, our net financial status dropped to plus €25 million from €52 million at the end of 2011. When comparing cash flow over periods of different reporting periods, we must also take into account any forfeiting and factoring measures. The volume of these transactions has, however, decreased in the last few quarters and had no major impact on our financing. On page 11, you see that our net working capital at the end of Q1 stood at €60 million. Days working capital rose somewhat accordingly to 10 days from just 6 days at the end of 2011. On a normalized basis, which is excluding prepayment swings, we consider days working capital of 20 to 25 days an adequate and high performance level. As you already know, we are showing on pages 12 and 13 an overview of our work in progress and the progress billings. And this shows that the payment balance with our customers has improved slightly compared to the end of last year. The prepayments from customers reported on the liability side were still exceptionally high at 451 million euros as of the reporting date. Consequently, there will be future receivables from contracts set against these liabilities on the asset side. It would be misleading if these prepayments were viewed just in isolation. The balance of future receivables from contracts and customer prepayments was minus 112 million euros at the end of the first quarter, which is an increase of 40 million euros versus year-end 2011. This amount, which represents customers' pre-financing of contracts, will lead to future cash outflows, which in turn will increase net working capital and reduce cash and cash equivalents. Page 14 shows the balance sheet. The items there have changed only marginally compared to the end of 2011. There was a 7 million increase in total assets to 1.668 billion euros compared to the year end of 2011. Cash and cash equivalents, including time deposits, amounted to 308 million euros as of March 31st. Equity increased by 11 million euros versus year-end 2011 to now 375 million as of March 31st. The equity ratio has started to improve to 22.5% as of the reporting date from 21.9% at the year-end last year. In the midterm, we aim to raise the equity ratio back towards the target level of 30% through retained earnings. The offloading of pension risk in the amount of 11 million euros, which has already been mentioned, reduced our pension provisions from 58 million euros at the end of last year to 49 million euros at the end of the first quarter. At 719 million euros, trade payables are the biggest item on the liability side. Finally, ROCE reached a strong 29% in Q1, which underlines the benefit of our asset-light structure. Let me now hand back to Ralf Dieter, who will highlight the development of our divisions and give you the outlook.
Thank you, Ralf. On page 15, you can see the positive trend in the Paint and Assembly System division, which continued in the first quarter. Incoming orders were up 33% year over year. Paint Systems and Aircraft and Technology Systems both had double-digit rates of growth. Large paint systems orders were received from China and the U.S., among others. The emerging markets accounted for 51% of the orders booked by the Paint and Assembly System division in the first 3 months of 2012. But we expect this ratio to increase again in the further course of the year. Sales revenues were up 58% in the first quarter. The gross margin declined slightly because the relative share of service business due to the strong growth in the new business. Strong capacity utilization, high sales revenues, and moderate increase in overhead costs led to a marked earnings improvement. EBIT came to 13 million in the first quarter, equivalent to a margin of 5.2%. The dynamic trend in the application technology is illustrated on page 16, and this division has continued since the beginning of the year. Incoming orders were up 31% year over year. Sales revenues were up 61%, and the book-to-bill ratio was still 1.35. We won a number of large orders, not only in China and the US, but also in Europe. The gross margin already improved in the first quarter thanks to the high level of capacity utilization and the better margin quality of the orders on hand. As fixed costs also rose less than proportionally, EBIT was up by 10 million to 11 million, and the EBIT margin reached 9.1%. On page 17, you can see that the incoming orders at Measuring and Process Systems were down 3% in the first quarter.
but we had strong increases at balancing and assembly products, which benefited from its strong positioning. This included several orders again from manufacturers of power generating equipment. However, order intake at cleaning and filtration system was down, but this business unit had booked a number of especially large orders in the first quarter 2011. So nevertheless, we expect the business trend at cleaning and filtration system to remain strong. Sales revenues at measuring and process systems were up 58%, and both business units achieved similar growth. Thanks to high capacity utilization, balancing and assembly products improved its earnings again in the first quarter, and earnings at cleaning and filtration systems have been turned around after a loss in the first quarter last year. So the division's EBIT margin reached 6%. Let's move to page 18. The figures for the Clean Technology System division so far only relate to the exhaust air purification business of the Environmental and Energy System business unit. This also includes the activities of the startup company for ORC Technologies, Dürr Cyplan Limited, in which we hold a 50% interest since June 2011. We increased our stake in the heat storage specialist Laterm in the first quarter 2012 from 8% to 29%. The Dortmund-based Laterm GmbH develops and sells latent heat accumulators, which are used to decouple and store heat from industrial processes and cogeneration plants and utilize it at other locations. The heat, which is stored in special containers, can be fed, for instance, into the heating systems of buildings. It can be used off-grid and with the time and location not depending on the heat source. We also acquired a 15% equity interest in the Dutch startup company Heat Matrix Group BV. The company develops and manufactures innovative plastic heat exchangers that offer two key advantages. They can be used in a corrosive media environment, and they are lighter and cheaper than conventional metal heat exchangers. Applications, for instance, include heat recovery from flue gases, industrial drying processes, or steam boilers. The exhaust air purification business again witnessed strong demand from the chemical, pharmaceutical, and carbon fiber industries in the first quarter. So incoming orders at the clean technology systems were up 37%. Sales revenue rose by 23%. And the book-to-bill ratio was 1.5. The earnings still lagged behind the growth in the business in first quarter, but this was due to higher expenditures on business expansion in the emerging markets and indirect acquisition costs for building of the, up the newly acquired companies. For the full year, we accept a clearly positive result for this division. Let's have a look on page number 19. You can see that the world automobile production and sales remained on an upward trend in the first 3 months of 2012, despite the downturn in Western Europe. In Germany and the UK, sales figures were slightly up. In China, automobile sales were unchanged. After a weak start, sales numbers increased in March by 5%. Russia, India, and the US posted double-digit rates of growth in the first quarter. And in Japan, automobile sales were up 50%, mainly due to the base effects. On page 20, you can see that market experts such as PwC have just published their latest forecast for the light vehicle market in April 2012. The latest figures are more or less in line with those published at the end of 2011. PwC expects production to reach over 100 million units by the year 2016, which means an average annual growth rate of 6%. The countries with the highest growth rates, above 10% in each case, are China, India, Russia, Thailand, and Indonesia. And this is reflected in our sales pipeline. The level of requests for quotation continues to be very high, not only in the BRIC countries, but also in the US, Mexico, and even in Europe. Let's move on to page 21. The outlook for our business is very positive, but we are not changing our conservative forecast for the time being. From today's perspective, we forecast growth of at least 5% in sales revenues to over 2 billion in 2012. And this is supported by the high order backlog and the continued strong pipeline from our customers. Incoming orders should normalize somewhat after last year's exceptionally high level, but they will exceed 2 billion in 2012 again. Earnings should improve further, and in view of our high capacity utilization and volume and cost regression effects, we are targeting an EBIT margin of over 5.5 up to 6%. The financial result will probably remain at last year's level also in 2012. The effective tax rate should stay at around 25% due to the use of tax loss carryforwards, and the net profit should be up by at least 15%. On page 22, you can see that the Dürr share has clearly outperformed the German indices over the last 3 years. Free float has risen to 70%. The average daily number of shares traded on the stock market has settled at a current level of around 130,000 shares. This compares with an average of about 20,000 still in 2010. These developments led to our entry into the MDAX in March and into the FAZ share index in May. While Dr. Heinz Dürr has announced his intention to retire from the supervisory board at the end of the annual general meeting in 2013, the Dürr family remains firmly committed to the company and intends to hold at least 25% of the shares in the future. The Dürr family will continue to be represented on the supervisory board by his daughter, Dr. Alexandra Dürr. Let's move to page 23, and before inviting you to place your questions, I would like to draw a short conclusion of what has been said. The first quarter 2012 turned out better than we expected. Incoming orders again reached a level of more than 600 million, and we already achieved an EBIT margin of 5.3%. The automobile industry will grow by 6% annually over the next years. The growth drivers for that will remain the emerging markets, and we expect resurgence of the North American market. To meet the ongoing demand, we are expanding our human resources and workshop capacities, but we are monitoring our productivity ratios closely to ensure we do not overinvest. Dürr's growth strategy is based mostly on four pillars. First, expansion in the emerging markets. Second, ongoing product innovation. Third, expansion of the service business. And fourth, the build-up of new business activities in the energy efficiency sector. And for 2012, we expect a continuation of the upward trend with sales growth of at least 5% and earnings improvement with an EBIT margin of between 5.5% and 6%. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention so far, and now we are happy to answer and to answer your questions you have, and I would like to hand over to Frau Krause.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We will now pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We take our first question today from Ingo Schachel of Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one would be if you could talk a bit more about the earnings development and cost-based development that you expect for the clean tech systems. You mentioned that the low results will be over soon, but could you talk a bit more about whether the return to black numbers is more back-end loaded this year, or if we should already expect this in the next quarter, and maybe also on the ramp-up of certain overhead cost items like selling expenses and so on, if we should expect to continue that these costs go up sort of proportional to sales, or if we, or at what point we really see a plateau of the higher selling and expansion costs, and maybe you can also have the impression that there are certain items in the negative result of the first quarter of this segment which have one-off character, like the project recalculations and so on. So if you could maybe quantify also the impact of things that are more one-off in nature in the first quarter results of that segment. The second question relates to cleaning and filtration systems. I think on a high-level basis, you said that the performance should not be worse this year than the last year. I was just wondering if you could talk about the profitability a bit more in detail, i.e., especially if the comment that the pricing of the order intake in the first quarter was good. Also is true for the cleaning and filtration system segment, and if then we should still expect a higher profitability than last year from cleaning and filtration systems. And the last question would be on the situation in Brazil and India. Obviously, the dynamics in both markets are pretty different at the moment. Of the decrease of the emerging market, excluding China orders, could you maybe expand a bit more in detail whether Brazil was the more important part of this decrease or India? And if it was Brazil, maybe to talk a bit more specifically about what you see in terms of the project pipeline and the current political situation in Brazil.
Okay, Mr. Scharl, Ralf Dieter speaking. I start with the last question. It's always a problem when we look at quarter order entry. And we just discussed it today. We will show in the next conference call an average of four quarters because, you know, one day, the month ends, decide whether we have 18% in Europe or 10% in Europe if it's a large order. So the answer for Brazil and India is very clear. In both countries, we have a lot of projects. In particular in Brazil, there's a really big pipeline of turnkey orders to be placed in the, I would say, second quarter, but more or less in the second half. And so there's no worry about Brazil, also not from a political point of view. The only thing our customers have to understand, and they are doing this now, that Brazil is not a low-cost country, and the wages for people for assembling and installations are pretty high, and that's the kind of experience our customers are having at the moment. But there's nothing to worry. The opposite, we had a big meeting in Brazil to enlarge our operation there to be able to support this expansion because there are more business in Brazil than we can do. India is a situation where also new capacity in investments or expansions are discussed with our customers here. We expect further, let's say, growth again from our point of view in the second half and also the first half 2013. By the way, if you have not asked about Russia, but that's the same. Russia will have an expansion wave again started to be awarded in orders in terms of first quarter 2013. Which makes us very optimistic, by the way, for the order level in 2013 already. Second question, EcoGlean. As I said, there last year was a particular large order, which was a really turnkey order for an expansion at the U.S. customer with unusual load. So there is still a strong demand in EcoGlean. We have also a strong order and a pipeline waiting for us. The pricing is better. And it's clear that we expect definitely a higher profitability of the EcoClean or cleaning filtration group in 2012 compared to 2011. That's absolutely clear. The first question I hand over to Ralf.
Yeah, Mr. Schachel, our profit situation in clean technologies, as we were saying, that's characterized by items both in the cost of goods sold as well as in the overheads. On the overhead side, we invested in more selling and R&D resources in order to build the base and to harvest from our acquisitions. And in the cost of goods sold area, we, as I had mentioned, we also undertook somewhat more careful or conservative project valuation because we are pushing further into the emerging markets and we just wanted to make sure that we don't have any negative surprises there. Your question, when the break-even will come, I would expect that by mid-year, so after Q2, we are break-even and then on track towards a good profitability towards then the end of the year.
Okay, that's helpful. Maybe a very quick housekeeping question regarding the Dürr IT services. Obviously, it's new and at least the cost was a bit higher than I expected. Is that the normal run rate or were there any special effects in the Dürr IT services?
No, that's absolutely a normal situation. No special effects. The reason why we have formed this entity was to make sure that we serve the entire participations that we have around the globe out of one entity, and we have a more stringent IT governance and can implement as much as possible across the world common platforms. So that's the reason why we have now showed it in the corporate center. but there are no special effects here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We now move on to our next question from Sven Schipanski of Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. Also, three questions from my side. The first one is on the cash flow, which has been burdened by both provisions and working capital. Could you sort of give us a guidance where you see operating cash flow for the full year? Second question relates to your gross margin, which has been burdened, as you said, by the lower service business. Given that you had a huge order intake again in Q1, the product mix is probably unlikely to change. So do we have to take the Q1 gross margin sort of as a run rate for the remainder of the year? And the third question regards your planned reverse of the sale and lease back. When does that hit the financial statements? Thank you.
Okay, Ralf Dieter speaking to your question regarding the gross margin. We expect that, as we said, our sales is growing as we forecasted or as we have as a guidance. So that's maybe, I would not continue with that run rate, but I would not expect a huge change here.
Okay.
On the cash flow, I mean, again, quarter-to-quarter views on this are always influenced by down payments, and therefore it's always, I think, just one data point in a trend line. Net working capital, if you compare this to overall working capital, the swing has been quite reasonable. We are expecting a positive free cash flow of roughly 50 million euros and operating cash flows cash flow between 80 and 100 million euros for the full year. Yeah.
And the free cash flow is 1.5 or 5.0?
5.0.
5.0, okay.
Yeah. Now, sell and lease back effects, the current P&L already shows the exact, has had no period with a change. The change happened at the end of last year.
Okay, that is already in, okay.
Yeah, so whatever we show now is already showing the full picture of having bought back the campus.
Okay, excellent. And then just one follow-up regarding the gross margin. Fair enough that it stays the way it is. Have you been able, because you're more or less fully loaded, have you been able to generate also higher margin orders for the new ones, because you can be a bit more selective?
The answer is the margin development is has been, I would say, satisfactory over the last 3, 4, 5 months. The customers know that there's more work out there than suppliers to do it, so I think that the margin development now we have is on a level where we would say that's something we like to have and the customer still can accept it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Christian Kors of Warburg Research has our next question. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. A couple of questions from my side. First, if we add the last 4 quarters, you have a run rate in order intake or a cumulative order intake figure of 2.8 billion. So where does your current capacity stand in light of that figure? And taking the future capacity measures you have in the pipeline in China, Brazil, and Mexico, where will that stand after these measures, and when do you think these measures are completed? And secondly, also with regards to cash flow, you have outplaced 11 million in pensions. You still have a very comfortable cash position. Is there more improvement or more good use of this excess cash via doing balance sheet improvements like that? So, Christian, are you outplacing maybe more pensions, or are there other measures you have in the pipeline? And thirdly, regarding acquisitions, you stated that there are several ones in the pipeline. Are you going also for bigger deals, or are you staying on the conservative side and will keep your approach of rather small-sized transactions?
Mr. Kors, Ralf Dieter speaking. The last question is clearly we stay on our course of having smaller acquisitions. We are not looking for big ones. You're totally right. If you look at the run rate of our order intake, the 2.8 billion, and last year we had 2.7 billion, is something you can calculate. So the capacity we have today is, let's say, really stressed, yeah. And the 2.7 billion level of last year was over-exceeding our capacity level from a calculatory point of view. But this is not a message I want to give because every project has different timelines, and then it looks a little bit different. But the fact is the measures we are taking to expand in terms of HR, so personnel, and also workshops space is more or less to suit this level we are at the moment, yeah. So, and I think after these measures have been taken, as I said before, we want also to be careful that we are not expanding too much because in the next future downturn, whenever it will be, in many years, hopefully, then we don't want to be exposed too much on that. But we see also that the second quarter will be not a bad quarter on order intake, so we'll see. But at the moment, the measures are geared to the point, as I said, that we have a level again above 2 billion in order intake.
Mr. Kors, on our use of cash, it's absolutely right. We have a very comfortable position, but I also do think that it's good to have a comfortable position in these volatile times. If you look at the Western European or Southern European political environment. But apart from that, we have a few more plans, obviously. One is we are carefully analyzing our pension liabilities, and we believe that there are more opportunities to outfinance some of those and therefore also reduce the risk in our balance sheet. So that's a good use of cash. Secondly, we want to have enough firepower for these smaller acquisitions. So that is obviously a good use for cash. Then we use it for cash collaterals and guarantees, which reduces significantly the cost of guarantees, and that shows then positively in our EBIT. And whatever is not for these purposes, we obviously carefully manage in our asset management.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question today, please press star one on your telephone keypad. We now move on to Jasko Terzic of DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Some questions from my side. On your slide with your rising workforce, you mentioned that you expect around 7,300 people with an average sales volume of around 300,000. When I multiply this, I turn out at a sales level of 2.2 billion. So is this an implicit guidance where we can go? Second question pertains to your strategic offense in the environmental technology business. So what exactly is a small acquisition in numbers maybe? And where do you see sales heading in 1 to 3 years' time? What amount of sales do you expect to reach there? And finally, your applications technology was very strong and still shows a good order intake. So could you be here more precise? What is exactly the driver behind it? Is it new capacities? Is it more replacement? And which regions are here strong? And maybe some words on each region.
Okay, Mr. Terzic, the calculation of 2.2 billion we have just made as a sales for the end of this year is something we would not totally disagree with.
Okay.
Good. For the second question, Mr. Heuwing will answer in a minute. The application technology, I mean, I can't give you now a report on the sales situation in every country, but I can only say one thing. The strong growth in our application technology business is driven basically at the same time from new installations and at the same time of modernizing existing paint lines due to the advantages we offer with our technology. And they are mainly that our customers save a lot of material. You will see soon a press release coming out with Volkswagen Bratislava, where we have implemented in an existing plant these new technologies where the customer saves a really significant amount of money in terms of material spent. And the next time is cycle time reduction. Quality is a third driver. and automation in particular for the interior painting, which is today still in many plants manually, so by people, and by automating that, it's you save a lot of material and the quality is much better. And you can see a trend in new cars like the Volkswagen Beetle, that inside the car, so the interior, you see a lot of painted surfaces, metal surfaces on the dashboard, on the doors. And this is continuing to be a trend, and therefore they need high quality. So the drivers are in both directions. The regions are from Brazil, which is very strong, down to China. Also in Europe and in Germany, we have a lot of replacements. So I would say this business at the moment is supported from all regions.
On clean technology systems, we had already given a midterm target of 200 million euros of revenue in our recent calls and in the annual report. And this will consist, obviously, of our existing business in in exhaust air purification, as well as our new business in energy efficiency, so waste heat recovery and the like, and obviously a major contribution should also come via M&A and buy and build. So we continue our course of acquiring smaller companies. The reason is always technology, and then to build them out and mobilize sales through our worldwide network. That's the strategy that we are pursuing. And so far, I would say we are well on track on implementing the strategy.
Okay, and what again is a small acquisition? Is it up to 20 or up to 50 million?
When we issued the second tranche of our high-yield bond in 2010, we commented it by saying this is to a good extent to finance acquisitions. So altogether a budget, I would say, of somewhere between 50 and 75 million euros, but over a several-year time frame. And so each ticket so far has been below 10 million euros, and we've had a good track record with those smaller acquisitions. I would say it's more unlikely to be anywhere between 20 and 50 million, and it's more likely to be anywhere between 0 and 20 million.
Okay, maybe one follow-up on the application technology business. Is this sealing robot also selling as well as a paint robot?
The sealing robot, you mean whether it's the same kind of type of system, or what do you mean that we sell?
No, is it also selling with the same growth rate like the application technology?
Yes.
In general?
And we have started that business to really pick up 3 years ago with a low market share. Now last year we had a market share of 55% in sealing worldwide.
Okay.
Sealing comes, you need sealing applications in any new paint shop, and in some of the older paint shops you have also manual operations which are replaced by automation.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. We now move on to Stefan Augustin from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello gentlemen. Just some smaller questions. Would you be so kind to give us an indication of the consolidation effect in the first quarter of Agramco? And the other two questions are actually for some seasonal development of your business. I understand that you have a couple of businesses that have typically in the first quarter a quite low EBIT margin and a high EBIT margin in the fourth quarter. So would you agree to say that the cleaning business will have a very significant margin improvement from 1Q to 4Q in 2012? And the other one is, do I have such an effect also at application technologies? I understand that most of the improvement is obviously coming from the top line, but do you have an element, a seasonal element in that division as well?
Okay, Mr. Augustin, Ralf Dieter speaking. So, yes, as I said, we expect an improvement of the EBIT of the EcoClean Group by the end of the year. The margin of new orders is at a satisfactory level at the moment. So, yes, for sure, the fourth quarter will be better, much better than the first quarter. Yeah, so that's clear. But all the years we are here on the phone, we always talk about the first quarter, which is a slow start and so on. But we have one difference now this year. We were really
we had no break. We were not at the end of the year unloaded. We just continued from the last year and the old year to the first day of the new year. That's why also the normal, let's say, mathematics, we always say the first quarter is very very weak and the fourth quarter is very strong. I think this year will be a little bit differently because we are really full steam running here, and that's why I think we can't counter that. But the application technology now with a 9% EBIT, I said the target is 10% for this group, and I have the hope that we can see that at the end of the year.
On Agramco, that's obviously a detailed question because we already published the full effects in the our annual report of 2011 with full disclosure, and so once it has been consolidated, we're not publishing then any further details on any particular group company. But Agramco was, as it was in the last year already, a nicely profitable group company which contributes to our success.
And this will be the same as this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions in the queue, gentlemen. Oh, pardon, we just got another question through from Miro Susuza. Suzuak from Bellevue Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Miro Suzuak speaking from Bellevue Asset Management in Zurich. Hello, Mr. Heuling. Just one question regarding the cash flow statement. There is a negative position, which is provisions. I think it's around 15 million. Can you please explain what this was?
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Suzuak. Nice to hear you. Our cash flow item provisions contains mostly the cash outflow for the pensions that we outplaced. Yeah? Pension provisions are part of that line item, and so that's the major part of this this item.
Okay. That answers my question.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. One final reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. There's no further questions in the queue at this time.
Maybe we can wait a second if somebody is still thinking about a question. If not, we can come to the end. It seems though that all questions have been raised which were answered from our side, and if there are no further questions, I would like to thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, that you participated today in our conference call for the first quarter. We enjoyed, as always, a discussion. And for today, we say goodbye and wish you a pleasant afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.